Good morning, everybody. Well, you braved the weather. It was 15 degrees below zero actual weather at my house this morning. But we're going to come here and heat things up. Brother, tell me you didn't ride a bicycle. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How many of you came ready to worship Jesus? How many didn't come ready to worship Jesus? That's all right. Some of you could raise your hand. This is when you're going to get ready right now. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, at the very first service of 2018, we declare, God, that we are going to not hold anything back from you. We declare, God, that this year will be different from last and all the other ones compiled. But we declare in the name of Jesus that we are going to worship you stronger than we've ever worshiped you before. Lord, if we've never raised our hands, we will raise our hands. If we've never knelt, we'll kneel. God, if we've never danced, we'll dance. God, if we've never sung, we will sing. Because Jesus, you deserve all the praise and all the glory, for you are an awesome God. Today, we just honor you with our hearts and our lives. And we declare that, Jesus, on this day, we will give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And that, Jesus, you won't have to nudge us to worship. Lord, you're going to have to pull us out. Because, God, we're going to choose to get right into your presence. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's worship God together.
Shout it out, shout it out. person, go ahead, find one person around the altar or in your seat and tell them, I will live and I will not die. Go ahead, speak the word of God over your life. I will live, I will not die. Amen. The Lord is my salvation.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Sing that out.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
Come on, get your hands up.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
Come on, sing that one more time with all you've got.
Yeah.
a hand clap for Jesus for being your hope and your light and your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, King Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, just say out of your mouth, thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, just thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place see. Get your hands up and worship. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching.
Okay.
For the Spirit of the Lord would say, you can trust me. You can trust me with your all. I won't damage you. I won't hurt you. You've trusted me to a certain length and a certain position in your walk. But the Lord would say, if you will trust me further, well, you will actually surrender those pockets and those portions that you have held back and hindered because of your fear of acceptance or what will happen in my life. The Lord says to you, if you will do that, you will find that I will open up the windows of heaven, and you will find that blessing will come in areas and ways that you've not even thought of. See, my desire, says God, is simply to bless you, to draw you close to me. But I can only draw you as close as you will allow in surrender. So God would say, surrender. Trust me. I will make sure that you will be blessed, loved, and protected. For I am your God, and I am a good God, and I love my people. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, we honor you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you do love us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for today. It's the only one we have. We thank you that you love us so much that you're willing to speak to us, encourage us, heal us, deliver us. God, you're willing to get deep inside of us and gnaw at us. God, we ask you to gnaw at us. We ask you to get into those places that we have simply said, no, God, no. Father, we ask that you'll get in there and gnaw till we'll let go. Lord, we need you. We don't want to live this life alone anymore. We don't want to live it our way any longer. We want to live your way. Because we know your way is the way of blessing. So Father, we honor you this morning. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing that's in this place. God, the anointing, your presence is here. Lord, where your presence is, Father, you'll do anything. So Jesus, bring life into order in people's lives through that anointing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't God good? I just love the Lord. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go find, let's just do it this way. We're going to cut our time down a little bit more because we have some giveaways and stuff we want to do this morning. If you'll take 3 minutes and just go find somebody you don't know. Please don't be a snob this morning. And you're saying, well, I'm not that kind of person. I'm just not one that meets new people. That's all right. Go out of your way. Just turn around then. Just swing a little bit. Meet somebody you don't know this morning and let them know that you thank God they're here.
Hey HT family, we want to tell you about the next Step 2 class coming up. It's starting January 16th at 7 p.m. The teacher is Miss Carla Vischer, and the topic is faith and finances. If you've completed Step 1 Rock Solid Faith, this is a great next step.
We got something amazing coming up for you family, the No More Hurt Seminar. This is for both men and women. It's on Friday, January 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. as well as Saturday, January 20th from 9 to 2.
Tonight is our Awaken Monthly. We're starting up at 6 p.m. We're doing a coffee house themed. So we're going to have Nespressos, which is like specialty coffees. We're going to have hot chocolate for you non-coffee drinkers. And we even have tea for Pastor Jade. So it's going to be an awesome night. Most importantly, Pastor Spencer is going to come and bring the word. So make sure you grab a friend and we'll see you at 6 p.m. Do we have good news for you? We're going to help you meet your weight goals for January 2018. The week of prayer and fasting is coming up January 8th through the 11th. We have the prayer meetings at 7 p.m. and also at noon. The Bible school students are hosting that one. Make time in your schedule and invest in your spiritual life. We'll see you there.
Is that another cup of coffee?
Yeah, why?
Because if you spent half as much taking me out than you did coffee.
Yo, I took you on a date. Look, it was like back in like November, yeah, not too long ago.
Right. Listen, we have our very first marriage encounter, April 12th to the 14th. It's time to invest into a healthy marriage.
The total cost per couple is $425. First payment due on January 28th of $150. Make sure you sign up at the Hub today.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Good morning. Amen. Hey, Happy New Year to everybody. Amen. I'm so excited. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. We give God praise and glory for this new year. And this first Sunday, we're so excited to be able to be here with you this morning. And it is such a blessing to welcome everyone. But we especially want to welcome our guests. Can anyone raise your hand if you're a guest here in the house this morning? We really want to give you a special His Tabernacle welcome. Any guests here this morning? Anybody dare to raise their hands? Okay, I think I see a half a hand. I see half flat. Okay, so we just want to welcome you. We're so excited that you're here with us today. Everyone, we're excited. And also, we want to welcome our live stream family. So, His Tabernacle, can you help me out? I want you to turn, if it's a camera near you, turn to the camera and welcome our live stream family. And wish them a happy new year. Amen. Happy new year, live stream family. We have people who are from all over the world who are in our live stream. And we also have some folks who are local here. And if you are local here in His Tabernacle area, Horseheads, New York, we want to encourage you to come on out. Even though it's cold outside, it's warm in our hearts. So we're very excited that you're here today. Also want to share with you, you heard it on the announcements, but they say that adults have to hear things over and over and over again. So I'm going to go over and over and over again. The teachers in the house are laughing. But this is a week, a very special week at His Tabernacle and everywhere in the body of Christ. Many congregations are in prayer and fasting. Some have already started. But we traditionally do our first fruits week this week. And so it starts this week, Monday, January the 8th through Thursday, January the 11th. Tell your neighbor on the left and right, the 8th through the 11th. Tomorrow, that's tomorrow, prayer and fasting, amen, amen. If I see anybody in the grocery store, we're coming after you. No, I'm just teasing. But the reality is that we are consecrating, giving our best to God, our first fruits to God. So this week, we're going to be in prayer and fasting. We want to encourage you to be with us in prayer starting at 6:15 a.m., 6:15 to 6:30. Say, be on the prayer line. Amen. And here's some great cards. We have some prayer line cards that are available, and I'm going to give you the number. 6:15 to 6:30. Starting tomorrow, we'll be praying. 712-775-7100 and dial in that access code 124064 pound. So I need you to be on that prayer line. We have our time of prayer and fasting at 6:15 here, 12 noon here in the sanctuary. Pastor Obi and the RBI students will be leading. So we'll have a time at lunchtime for you to come out to pray. And then at 7 o'clock, make sure you meet us back here at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, because we're going to come to end our days together Monday through Thursday. It's like the Church of Acts. We will be here together. And so it's not just where we are not eating, but we are offering this time up to God. So we are also going to be sharing some quick teachings about how to be successful in this time of prayer and fasting, but also how to live a prayer and fasting lifestyle. Amen. Amen. So we just want to excites you to get involved in this new year, because we're going to move forward, because this is the year of, I can't say it. He'll kill me if I say it. Amen. So just want to welcome Pastor Rhonda. She's going to lead us through right now in our time of tithes and offering. And if you are a guest here, join us over in our guest reception in the classroom on the hallway over to my left.
Oh, it would be so much fun, though, Pastor Andrea, to steal his thunder. This is the year of... Just kidding. Maybe not. Maybe not. This is the year of... Okay, I'll behave. I'll try to behave. It is so awesome to be in God's house this first week of the year. You are brilliant, brilliant for being in the house of God. The Word of God says where two or more are gathered, there He is in the midst. So right now He is here. We are in the presence of the Lord. You are spending your first fruits of time and energy and worship in the house of God, setting the tone for your entire year. Everything is seed time and harvest. We're sowing seeds of worship to our God in this first week, and we will reap a harvest in this year of that. So as we enter into this time of prosperity, and this is the time of prosperity where we share the word of God on your finances and prospering. So in John, 3 John 1:2, it says, "Beloved, I pray above all things, that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So God desires that you prosper. And then in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." Every single one. You see, in Acts 10:34, it says, "God is no respecter of persons." The devil, the enemy, would love to tell you that prosperity is not for every single person, because there's differences. How can there be prosperity for every single person? Let me read the answer to you that we read last week, Hebrews 4:2. I love this. Such revelation in this. And I pray that as we're all hearing the same thing, that it'll get deep down inside of us and stir faith. It says, and this is the word of God, Hebrews 4:2. "For indeed, we have had good news preached to us." I just shared the word of God with every single person in this room heard. "Just as they also," every single person, "but the word they heard did not profit them." Now, how does that happen if He's no respecter of persons and it's available for every single one? We'll finish that passage, and it goes on to say, "Because it was not united by faith in those that heard it." Now, some will hear the word of the Lord this morning, that it's His desire to prosper you, and that He will give you, that He will cause you, He gives you the power to get wealth. Some of you will hear that, and some of you will believe that and couple it with faith and be obedient to the word of God and tithe and sow. And others won't combine it with action and faith, and it will not profit. So every single person, it's available to each one. God is no respecter. He has prosperity and profit for every single one of His sons and daughters. He takes pleasure in our prosperity. It gives Him great joy when His sons and daughters profit. So stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. And I pray today that you make this declaration from a place of faith in the Word of God that has been spoken, and that we will walk in the harvest of it. Deuteronomy 28 says, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in." I know it's cold outside, but come on. I don't know if I believed that. Let's couple the Word of God with faith this morning, all right? So it says, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed. offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button, give right along with us, or even text to give.
Praise the Lord. Can you give God a praise for our worship band and our worship team? Amen. We're excited. Our Bible school students are coming back this week, actually. Many of them are coming from Texas, and we love having them here. We are getting ready. We're passing out to you right now, if we could have them do it quickly, and that is the 2018 Week of Prayer and Fasting. This gives you the understanding on how to fast. A lot of people have never fasted. Who has never fasted ever? There's a lot of folks who have never fasted. And that's okay, because this is the year that you're going to begin something new. Amen? There are different types of fast. When you get this piece of paper, you'll flip it over on the backside. And there's something called a regular fast, and that is just water, no food, and or 100% fruit juice. And then there's a partial fast, and that is eliminating one or two meals. But while you fast, you're reading the Word and praying. And the next one is called the Daniel fast. I just want you to hear me. That is the worst fast you could ever do in your entire life. Why is that one tough? Because it's only fruits and vegetables. And your head says, you can eat as many fruits and vegetables as you want. You could eat 20 pounds of fruits and vegetables at every meal. But I want you to know something about the Daniel fast. You never get full. It is a hard fast. And then the next one is a sexual fast. Now listen, if you're single, this is not one of those fasts, because you should not be in this at all anyways. Can I hear an amen? The sexual fast, both spouses must be in agreement to this fast. And that's talked about in Corinthians chapter 7. An alternate fast, some people, because of the medical reasons or physical reasons, can't give up food. So, like my mother-in-law couldn't give up food when she was alive, so she would give up television. Some of you watch 4, 5, 6 hours of TV a day. She gave up her TV, she gave up everything, so that was hurtful. Now, some of you could give up Facebook. You could do that. You could do that for a fast. You can give up your Facebook. You can give up your phone. Listen, if you've never given up Facebook or your phone, it's a great opportunity for you. Can I hear an amen? Oh, my. Amen? Very good. So these are the different types of fast. It tells you when you're fasting, what to do, when you pray, how to pray, and what to pray for. So all of this is for you because we want you to have understanding on how to make that happen in your life. If you have never fasted, I really want to challenge you. It challenges your flesh. The purpose for fasting is it brings your flesh into subjection. The first day, you're not in subjection. You're trying to chew either your fingers off or somebody else's. You might actually get grumpy and get mean. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But what we want you to do is we want you to fast because this is where you learn. And the Bible says in the Old Testament that they called a fast, a congregational fast. And we do this every single year. So I challenge you to fast, one of those fasts, to fast. Do something you've never done before to get a different result. Amen? And so, you know, this year, some of us have fasted elongated. We have folks that are going to be fasting between 7 and 10 days. And that's just water. So I want to encourage you, you can do it. You can do it. You can at least do a day. Really, what I'd like you to do, if I can tell you, is I would like you to do one full day fast as your pastor. I'm asking you to do this. One full day fast, and if this is your very first time, then the rest of the week, do like skip two meals or skip one meal and fast one meal or two meals the rest of the days that we're fasting and praying. So I want to challenge you. This is a challenge to you because many of us, our flesh runs our lives. Now, until you have... Now, I've done some elongated fasts, and let me tell you my greatest struggle with elongated fasts. It's not eating. I don't even get hungry when I start to fast. It's not even an issue for me. The issue is the habit of when we eat. We went to the movies the other day. I smelled the popcorn, dear Jesus. Man, I tell you, just the thought and the smell of smelling that popcorn, knowing that I have, you know, usually lemonade with Sprite mixed and sit down there and you just shovel that stuff in your face. Glory to God. I can still smell it. I'm not even near the theater. This greatest struggle that you're going to find about fasting is not the not eating, except if it's your very first time, you might chew your arms off. Will, I'm sorry, brother. You're going to make it. I know you will. Amen. I've challenged some of the young men that I work with personally I've challenged one of them, it's his first year, to do one day and the other gentleman to do 2 days because I just think it's time to stretch yourself. If you want to do something, you've got to do it big. Can I hear an amen? And what's that, dear? Oh, that's right. And today, I want to remind you, if you got an email right after service, don't leave. If you filled out one of those white envelopes declaring that you're going to tithe for 1 year, you made a vow before God, not before us, we're going to give you Bishop's book right after. So if right after service, if you filled out one of those cards, you got an email or a text, make sure you come down. We're going to come down this aisle, and we're going to give these books to you right here, all right? It's going to be a great day. So we're getting ready to enter into our new year. For those who are here New Year's Eve, you know what we're preaching. But this is going to be the year of divine connections. Many of you don't know what that means. But during this year, you're going to have revelation. What's a revelation? A revelation is an unveiling. It's like taking a bust or a picture and putting a blanket over it and then peeling it off so you can see what's underneath. You see, every one of us need to have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the principles. Now, you see, this year, being divine connections, not only is God going to show you the divine connections that he has in your life, but he's also going to do supernatural things. Turn to someone and say, God's going to do supernatural things for me. God's going to do supernatural things for you this year because he's going to bring connections into your life to bring you to the vision that he has foreordained for you. Many of you have been wondering, where is God? Why am I not seeing my breakthrough? Why am I not seeing blessing and prosperity? Why am I not seeing increase in my family, salvation in my family? Why, God? And God is saying, this year, I'm going to bring connections into your life that you will find they will be that what your desire will be. So shout it out loud. This is the year of What did you say? Oh, my goodness. This is the year of. Now, I want you to know that line upon line, precept upon precept, by the end of this year, you're going to understand how to call forth divine connections in your life. You see, I am who I am, not because of just me being born on this earth, but I have the greatest connections that God has brought into my life. And today I want you to realize that literally this church is literally known in major parts of the world. How does that happen? It's called divine connections. I am who I am, and this church has grown at the size that it has, not by accident, but by divine connections. Every one of us can accelerate. Every one of us can move forward in what God's plan is for our lives, as long as we have those divine connections. Here's a principle that I learned a long time ago. Not one person has ever been successful on their own. Nobody. Nobody's been successful on their own. Even God himself has chosen not to do this alone. You see, you are a connection not just for you to get God, but God wants to get you. I'd like you to open up your Bible to the verse for the entire year. It's found in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And I want to read this to you because I want you to see the mind of God. And the Bible says, and they went out. Now, listen, if you don't have a physical Bible and you need one, we'll provide one for you. But we want to make sure that you bring your Bibles to church. Why should you bring your Bibles to church? You should be writing in your Bibles. You need to write in your Bibles. What do you mean? That's desecration. No. The Bible itself is not holy. It's the words that come alive. For the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And while you're writing in your Bible, you're going to find that God will give you rabbit trails to where you're going to be able to go back later on and see a teaching that you had from the Word of God, and it will enhance and remind your life. So you need to bring your Bible. Turn to someone and say, bring your Bible to church. Many people say, well, I have my iPad or I have my phone. That's nice, but bring your iPad, your phone, and your Bible. Amen? We need to get used to carrying our Bibles again. And the Bible says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs, So here, I want you to see this. The Lord working with them. God has a plan, and his plan includes you. Let me say it one more time. That sounds a little simple, but it's not. God has a plan, but his plan includes you. Now, the issue is if you don't believe this, then what happens is you become a religious person. What does that mean, religion? That means you do something out of religiosity or you do it just out of habit. You see, there are religious smokers. There are religious tokers. There are religious drinkers. There are religious swearers. People are religious. What do you mean religious? They do it because they do it. But God is not after your action. He's after your heart. And when we recognize that you and I are part of the plan of God, God working with them, then coming to church, being part of the local body, growing your relationship with the Lord, then has to be destroyed. You have to destroy the mindset of just coming to church and being a little Christianette so that when the rapture happens, you don't go to hell. Can I hear an amen or oh my? God's desire is to couple with us. Now, I love this verse. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God has prepared your life. Some of you have gone through hell in your life, and some of the hell you've gone through has nothing to do with God. Everybody wants to blame God. Well, you know, everything happens for a reason. That is baloney. I don't know who told you that lie, but that is a lie from hell. That is not God. Everything does not happen for a reason. The fact is that God, he orders the steps of our feet. And God, yes, at times will bring us through fire, but the reason to bring us through fire, every fiery trial that comes upon us, we shouldn't be surprised about, but that fire will hone us, develop us, mature us to be people that are going to do greater works in his name. But God does not kill people. God does not bring sickness in your life. Come on, all the religious cows, kill them all. God does not bring disease in your life. That's not good enough for me. If it's not good enough for me, it's not good enough for God. Here we go. God does not bring disease into your life. Amen. Cancer is not from God. Amen. God does not need another angel. Amen. No, listen now. That's a big one. Well, God needed another angel. No, he needs you down here. He needs you to work for him. You see, God coupled with mankind. We are his workmanship, prepared to do great works for God. God's got greatness in you. God's got great works prepared for you. You are not just here sucking air. You're not here just to survive. But God's got a plan in your life so that you can do mighty works for the kingdom, so that you and I will make an indent on the devil's demise. It's time to recognize that you are not an accident, but that you are on purpose. To connect with us is to complete the circuit of heaven. Let me say it again. To connect with us, for God to connect with us, completes the circuit of heaven. You see, the plan of God is to use you. The plan of God is your life. The plan of God is that you and I will be a light set on top of a hill. The plan of God is that so many will look at our works doing for the Lord, and they'll recognize the Lord through you. God needs your life in this year called Divine Connections. I want to show you that God has a plan to connect with you. The enemy of your soul, his name is Diablos. His name is Devil. His name is Lucifer. His name is Foul. He's a foul, foul beast. His design is to disconnect you from those divine connections so that you will have to live a life of survival, just making it by, and always seeming to blame God when God only has one thing for you, and he wants to bless you. He wants to pour himself out on you. He wants revival in you, and he wants to take your life and bring great meaning to it. You see, the plan of God and success is connections. Business people know this. Church folk don't seem to know this. And what happens in our walk with the Lord, we forget how powerful and what God's plan is. Do you see, Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 5, that Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. Why was Jesus slain before the foundations of the earth? Because God wanted to make a connection with you. Oh, I don't think you're getting that. The whole reason that Jesus came is to connect with your life. Come on, you know before you were saved, when you weren't walking with the Lord, you did what you want, when you want, how you wanted. You didn't please anybody but yourself. You were a true socialist, where it was all about you being an individual, that as long as you didn't hurt anybody else, everything was okay. But you see, that isn't okay, because that's an individual that's just literally walking by accident on this planet. Isn't it time that the people of God especially get a destiny in their spirit, get a purpose in their spirit, get a direction in your spirit, rather than just living and surviving? God wants to raise you up to be a great man and woman of God. You see, we don't recognize how powerful we are because we don't recognize what God did, what he had to pay for simply doing one thing to connect you with him. It's all about connecting. You see, many of us have different levels of connection with God. Some of us in this room, we believe in God. I believe in him, and I'm sure he's a good guy, but I've never accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Some of you have been coming to this church for years, and you've never accepted Christ. You've never made that divine connection with salvation to where he is the pinnacle person in your life. Some people in this room, you've made a connection with God. You've truly, truly gotten saved. You've received him as your Lord and Savior. But your limitations on God is that you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to the lake of fire. So you allow God to connect with you at a level that is not where he desires for you to be. Then other people in the room, you've made decisions and you've crossed over a barrier of flesh, and now you're really starting to accelerate in the spirit. You're finding that truthfully, your life is changing other people's lives. Listen, there's no greater high than God using you to change somebody else. It does not matter what other opportunity you have. When God starts taking your life and starts using your life, when God starts coupling with you to bring somebody else from death to life, from sickness to health, from somebody that is in bondage to freedom, man, there's something that just surges through you. There's no greater adrenaline rush than to have the Holy Ghost use your life to change somebody else's. You see, the purpose of the connection is not just salvation. It's not just that you can go to heaven, but the purpose of God's connection with your life is that you will be a connector for Him. You see, this is the power of where we are. Our God is the light. But when you connect to God, your light bulb comes on. When your light bulb doesn't come on, or when it doesn't stop flashing, stop flashing. Will that work? It's going to keep flashing. Let's move on. The truth is that our Father is the light. You know, the power of God is so real. Some of you have experienced the power of God, and some of you have never experienced the power of God. Some of you come to this church, and you have a genuine love for the Lord, and you have accepted the Lord, but you've never allowed God to touch you in a supernatural way. You've never allowed the energy of heaven, called the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to so penetrate your life that literally you could not doubt God if you didn't want to. You see, many of us, the Bible makes a declaration, as Paul says, for I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. You see, when God comes into you, your light bulb comes on. This is when true life happens in your heart. You see, the connection with God is that you'll have life. You'll have power, you'll have purpose, you'll have design, and you'll have impact. The issue with our lives is, how many of you have, don't raise your hand. How many of you have life, or do you have survival? How many of you have power, or you're just hoping it all works out? How many of you have destiny, or you're just wandering the planet, trying to make a few bucks and make it by so that you retire, you'll have something in the bank? You see, the mindset that's come upon the body of Christ is a dislocation from God's design for us. God wants to connect us to heaven. Come on, we did a whole year on the kingdom of God. We did a whole year on access. We did a whole year that God's desire is that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no lack in heaven. Can I hear an amen? When you are part of heaven, you have all access. What does heaven have is available to you. See, God wants to make himself so joined to you, so connected to you, that this verse comes alive. In him we live and move and have our being. It's beyond just the mindset of Christianity of the church world today. You see, the mindset of the church world today is don't offend anybody. Everybody should be happy. Everybody just wants to be jolly. Don't confront sin. Don't confront the opportunity to surrender more. But here's the truth. The greater connection can only come the more you surrender. Let me say it one more time. The greater connection with heaven can only come the more you've surrendered. The opposite of surrender is rebellion. What is rebellion? I know the authority, but I refuse to submit to the authority. I know what I need to do, but I'm really not that interested in acquiring that level in my life. That is literally becoming independent from God. One of Adam and Eve's greatest sins was that God had created a connection with them. He created them in his image, and he walked with them and talked with them in the cool of the day. But one day, as Eve was being tempted, she was tempted and she yielded to the temptation. The Bible says that she was deceived, but the fact was is that God told her not to eat of the fruit of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when Eve responded, Eve's response was very interesting. Eve's response was, God told us not to touch or eat. See, the fact is that Eve added to the word of God because she wanted to have a level of control. Then the Bible says, then the word of God declares that she saw that the fruit was good. You see, rebellion resides in every single one of us. Rebellion is resident in every single one of us. It is there waiting to burst and to bust out. What is rebellion? God, I don't care what you say. I'm doing it my way. God, I don't care what your directive is. I'm doing it my way. You see, for us to have this divine connection that God has planned for us, why do some people in Christianity excel beyond somebody else? It's not that God loves somebody. You heard it in the offertory encouragement. It's not that God loves anybody else anymore, but what it is some are willing to yield, some are willing not to yield. Some are willing to surrender, but the rest want to sit back and hold a part of their life from God and think they're going to bless God. Listen, you cannot breach the laws of God and think that as being a lawbreaker, you can have the benefits of God. Works in America, doesn't it? You get down the road. How many have passed a cop going too fast? And you kept looking up in your rearview mirror. Why'd you do that? You knew you broke the law. How many have ever been pulled over? You can raise your hand for that one. How many ever got a ticket? And you looked at him and you said, I don't know what your problem is, sir. I don't know what you're dealing. Listen, I know this. I'm driving my car. Now leave me alone. So now you've just acquired a beautiful pair of silver bracelets. We won't rebel against our country, or if we do, we pay the price, but we don't expect that with God. You see, connections are very powerful because a connection is not just one way. A connection goes both ways. The greater the connector, the thicker the wire. You have 120 and you have 240, thank you. I was just talking to Marge. She was in my office, and Marge was telling me that she was having problems with her stove one day, so she went down and she flicked all of the breakers on. And then she's walking in her basement, and she walked by this wire and hit it with her arm. And it arced. Has anybody ever seen an arc? A bright light, boom! And she smelled something burning, and she looked down, and it had melted her shirt. Now, that really could have been deadly, because the connection, when it was made, thank God it was a little bit loose in the factor of touching her. How many of you ever stuck your finger in a 110? How many of you have stuck something in the 110 to see what the feeling would be like? Amen. How many of you recognize bad, bad, bad? The stronger the connectors, the more the power, the more the light. When we built this building, I remember we had hired a company, and they gave us what they were going to do in the, for what we needed for electricity, and we put it all in the mortgage, and we're all set, and then, oh my goodness, I almost lost my salvation that day. He came up to me and he says, I'm sorry to let you know, but I forgot, I didn't do the loads right. You have to have three phase coming into this building. And I said, I don't know what that means. He said, well, it's another $45,000. Well, the mortgage was already closed. So that had to come out of the body. That had to come out of the bank account. And I looked at him and I said, Rawr. But you know, how many of you like three phase? You're saying, well, I don't even know what it is. Let me explain it to you. How many of you like air conditioning? You love three phase. Because if you did a 110, those air conditioners aren't working. If you did a 220, those air conditioners are not working. You have to have three phase coming into the building. The larger the wire, the larger the capacity, the more the light will shine. I'm here to tell you today, God wants to enlighten you. God wants to reveal to you. You know, it's so powerful because it says this. It says, as the example above the light bulbs, is the bulb is there, but until there is a connection, the light bulb never comes on. It's dark, no purpose, and no impact. And that's some of you. You come to church, you love God. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, but you have no purpose in your life. You're living from paycheck to paycheck, relationship from relationship, bitterness to bitterness. Come on now. Offense to offense. You have no direction in your life. And the issue is that with no direction, you are absolutely lost. There is no blinder person than a person that cannot see even though they have eyes. We've got to make a determination in our spirit. I've got to connect with God like I've never connected before. I've got to complete the circuit and that connection with heaven so that the power, the life, the purpose, the destiny, everything that I need that is embodied in heaven can be released to me. I've got to complete the circuit. God is ready. God is willing. God is calling. God is sitting there saying, come on now. I'm rooting for you. I'm tooting for you. I'm doing it all. Come on now. Get up here. Connect with me. When you connect with God, everything starts to shift in your life. When you don't connect with God, nothing shifts even though you go to church. And then you get mad at God, frustrated with God. And God is saying, no, listen now, my will has never changed. My purpose has never changed. God doesn't think church thought. God thinks kingdom thoughts. And the kingdom thought is connection. God wants to make a connection with you. You see, the Bible declares in John chapter 1, verse 12, for us in this completion, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, when we receive him, everything changes. Sins are washed away. But that's not the greatest connection beyond just salvation. Remember, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. If you and I getting saved was the ultimate will of God, then we'd all die the day we got saved. You can't grow a church that way. All of a sudden, you come here with your friend, and they come up, and the Holy Spirit's convicting them of sin, and they come up to the front, and they confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and they drop dead. Well, glory to Jesus. No, that's horrible. By the way, you wouldn't be bringing them to the front, because you'd be dead already, too. The purpose for that connector is not just so that you are going to go to heaven, but that you will connect others to heaven. I'm going to ask you a quick question, and I'm going to be pretty much done here because I need to preach short today. Here's the question. How many people have you led to the Lord Jesus Christ in the last year? Don't answer it out loud. Answer to yourself. If it's zero, then you've missed one of the great connectors of heaven. If you've not led one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the very purpose and essence of your life is being lost. Because it's not just about going to heaven, it's about taking everybody you can with. It's about you and I coupling with the Lord, and the Lord worked with them, accompanying with signs and wonders. God wants to start working through your life. God wants to start. Listen, I'll read it to you. It's very simple. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says this, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, whenever there's been a connection, you've seen greatness. God created Adam from the dust, But it wasn't until he breathed, made that connection into him, that life came to him. Noah, he connected with God. Watch now. The rest of the planet did not. So that means even in the midst of a church, there are people that are going to sit here and never connect with God. That connection that Noah made with God did what? It saved the entire planet. It saved you. You know, you came from not just Adam, but mainly you came from Noah. How about Abram? Abram connected with God, and literally it created the Israelites, which now the Messiah was going to come out of. How about Moses? Moses connected with God. And when Moses connected with God, he led the children of Israel, who were in bondage over 400 years, out of Egypt and into the blessing of the heavens. How about Joshua? When Joshua connected with God, he was the one who took them over the River Jordan and into the promised land. You see, every single time there's a connection, every single time people are impacted, every single time the light does not just go to you, every single time God will use you when you're connected. David connected and established the throne of the Messiah. Jesus connected with the Father because he declared, "I and the Father am one." The Bible says the apostles connected with Jesus and God used their lives all over the world. Paul connected and brought the gospel to the Gentiles. And when you and I connect, we'll make a difference. There is a wire missing when it's only about us. There's a strand wrong when it's only about our connection with God because I don't want to go to hell. Now listen, if I was going to build the church a lot quicker, I would just say, praise the Lord, just get connected with the Lord. Everybody loves everybody. Ah. But the fact is that God's plan with connection is that he's not running out sharing the gospel anymore. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. His plan is you and I. The greatest connectors that God has is you and I. The greatest connectors that you and I are the circle of influence that he has placed us in. If the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, then where you are is not an accident. Stop complaining. Stop moaning. Stop groaning. I hate Elmira. Well, guess what? You're going to hate Florida too. Because the issue is you. But when you understand your connection, when you understand your purpose, not just salvation, but you and I connecting others to the heavens, I want you to recognize that your life does not go on when you get up in the morning and you say, wow, it's just cold in here. I need a cup of coffee. I hate my life. You get up in the morning and you say, you know what? Today is a day that God is going to use my life. Today is a day that I have purpose and design. Today is a day that God's going to help me bring change to somebody. It might be just a simple word of encouragement. It might be a text. It might be a phone number. But I want you to know that God wants to use you supernaturally every single day. For God worked with them and accompanied with signs and wonders. It's time to be people that are connected beyond where you've ever been connected before. This year in 2018, divine connections. I want to share with you what you're going to learn this year. One thing that I do in this house is that when God speaks to my heart of where we're going, I didn't get this out of a book. I didn't talk to three or four friends and we can connive an idea. I'm in prayer, talking to the Lord, and he says, this is what I want my people at His Tabernacle Family Church to do in 2018. That means right there, you immediately have connection. That means immediately you know that you have a direction. The key to getting the direction is going to school. I didn't figure I was going to get many amens on that one. How many of you went to school? Elementary, my dear. How many went to elementary school? Amen. How many of you didn't want to go to elementary school? How many times you got up in the morning and you said, I don't want to go to school? Amen. How many of you went to school? How many of your parents said, you're going to school, I'd kill you? How many of you, when you got caught skipping, they caught you? Ooh, look at all these people. The fact is that we went to school because it is a law to go to school. Why is it law? Because the law requires that you have a base level of learning so that you can accelerate and not be sucking off the government. I don't have a problem with welfare. You can come here on welfare all you want, but you're going to get off with the principles. I don't mind that you come here on welfare. I don't mind welfare at all. I believe that there's a place and a purpose for it. But I want you to know that God never planned you to stay on welfare. He planned for you to accelerate and to prosper in His Word. Can I hear an amen? This year at His Tabernacle Family Church in 2018, we're going to strengthen your connection with God. We're going to make sure that you not just know about Him, but you know Him. That you not just hear what He has said, but you hear what He is saying. That connection with heaven is going to be so powerful that you're going to be changed and challenged at a new level. You see, that can only come as you're in school. Can I hear an amen? You've got to strengthen. We're going to strengthen your connection with the church. Man, some of you, this is just a visiting folk. You come here every once in a while, and I want you to recognize that's not the plan of God. This is, I don't care if we live in America. The average person in America goes to church once every 3 weeks. I don't care if it's America. We believe the Word above America. The Word supersedes culture. Well, that wasn't really strong. The Word supersedes culture. Doesn't matter what the world says or even what the church is doing. You might remember one time I said, well, the statistics say, and someone said to me, well, I'm not part of the statistics. I had a hard time with that word. Statistics. We're going to make the connection with the house of God so amazing that you're going to develop friends and relationships here that will never be broken. You'll have them in heaven. When you see each other in heaven, you're going to give each other a high five. We made it. We're going to strengthen your relationships, your connections in your family. We're going to strengthen your connections with your friends. And then we're going to disconnect some of your friends. We're going to create a connection with you so that you are going to shine the light beyond just you receiving, so that you will give. The Bible says, as freely as you've received, freely. It's time to stop living your life for yourself. It's time to start living your life for Christ. You see, when you live your life, you are going to be changing other people. There will be impact in your life. We're going to strengthen your connections with your business. Some of you need new connections in your business. I believe this year, without any reservation, and I declare it from the pulpit on January 7th, 2018, that you, if you've come into this year as a business person, God is going to bring connections to you that will accelerate the finances, that will accelerate the businesses. I'm believing for millionaires be raised up in this house. I'm declaring that you're not going to struggle any longer, but that you are going to have more than enough. Now listen, now I'm believing for at least 15 millionaires in the house, and I'm believing that you're going to make at least 10 million. Because what I can do for Jesus with $1 million tithe is just phenomenal. Some of you don't ever want to be a millionaire. That's okay. God's going to make a connection at your work. You're going to start getting raises, and God's going to start blessing you. You're going to get favor, even though you might think you're in the darkest jail like Joseph did. God's going to bring favor to your life because of the connections that God's going to bring in your life this year. Man, it's going to be an awesome year. I don't want you to miss one moment of it. You see, I could preach the whole year right now. Every connection will either empower you or short circuit your life. One more time. Every single connection that you have right now will either empower you or short circuit your life, and not just your life, but the generations to come. So this year, this is the year of, boy, you're awful quiet. I said, this is the year of, amen. We want to bless you this morning with some things. I hope you don't mind. What's that? We're going to bless you with some product. We got some really cool stuff. We got His Tabernacle. There's only 75 of these. The new logo is phenomenal. You'll see the latitude and longitude. That's this location right where you're sitting right now. Divine connections. And I want you to recognize that this year, it's not just God's responsibility to connect. It's yours. If you choose not to connect, don't whine. You can still go to heaven, but don't whine. You should turn backwards. Oh, Pastor Dan. You shouldn't face the congregation. You don't mind if we give some of these. I think we have some halfway, don't we? Pastor Cody, did we do that? No, we didn't do that. Here go, Pastor Chad. You go halfway. Ready? Oh. Now, Bruce, I think that's a small. That's definitely not going to fit you. Come on, just throw them out there. We have product. We have merch out in the foyer. You want to get it. Why? Because when you walk around the community, you're going to say, hey, hey. Divine connections. They're going to wonder what you're talking about, and you're going to be able to share with them that this is the year of divine connections. It's right there in the back. If you want some, you can grab some after service. But what we want to do is, my greatest concern is not for the merch. I like merch. Anybody likes merch? They had only white shirts, long sleeves, and my body just does not work good with those kind of shirts. No black shirts. I needed a black shirt. Hide things, glory to God. Or fast more. Amen. My concern is that today there are people in this room that love God. You do. You honestly, you love God. Listen, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have some level of love for God. But you have such, your only connection is in your mind. I love God. But you've never committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never asked him into your life. You've never surrendered to that line of connection. And today, my greatest concern is that you're going to be in this room and that some of you will walk out of this room. You'll still not have connected with God. You're not, listen now, I'm not saying this in fear. It's real. Your tomorrow is not promised. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why? Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to be. How many of you know somebody that died very young? How many of you know somebody that died in a car accident? How many know somebody that died of just a freak thing they didn't even know was happening to them? We have men and women in the room that were in war. How many of you knew somebody that died in war? Listen, every one of us, we know people that their lives were cut short. You don't know your days. And with that, you've got to make a decision that you captivate your day. This is the only day you're going to have. The greatest connection you can have with God is right now. Your connection tomorrow is dependent on how much you want to connect tomorrow. But your connection with God is right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, Sam, where are you, bubby? If you don't need Jesus as your Savior, this is the day you've got to make a decision. Now, a lot of people try to do this emotionally. Listen, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And right now, if you're sitting here, there are people that God is convicting you of your sins. But you see, I'm not interested in you making a decision out of emotions. I'm interested in you making a decision because it's a conscious decision. You know, when you marry somebody, you don't marry somebody because you love them. Everybody knows that, right? You don't marry somebody because you love them. We live in America. I feel it. I feel love. Yeah, you get married for a few years. You're going to have days you don't feel love. You might have years you don't feel love. My wife told me it was four of them for us. But we made a decision. We're going to stay married. When you serve God, it's not about emotions. It's about a decision. I choose to follow God. And that's your decision today. I'm placing it before you. The Bible says it's called life or death. And I pray that you choose life. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, minding your own business and asking God about your own heart. Listen, it doesn't matter how many years you've come to church. Just because you park your car in a garage does not make you a garage. Is that the way it goes? Yeah, or a car. Right. Yeah, it doesn't work. because you eat French fries don't mean you are one. Who are you? It didn't work either. My question to you is this. If you gasped your last breath on the way home today from church, I remember not too many years ago, it was an Easter service, I believe, and Portia and her sister were on the way home from church. And there was a horrific car accident. You don't know. That's fear. Well, some are saved by fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I don't mind scaring the hell out of you, because I know when you realize how much he loves you, you'll stay serving him. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'm going to ask you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. We've got to keep moving. Anybody else? Is there anybody in the room that would like to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? 5, 4, 3, 2, and last call. Thank you, sir. And 1. Can I say this to you? If everybody in the room is born again, or that gentleman, I believe, just needs rededication, then I can guarantee you we're all missing a reason for the portion of our connection. And this year we're going to change that. Amen? I said amen. Do you realize if everybody in this room made a connection with somebody and they gave their heart to Jesus, that next year this church would be double? Not about growing a church, about growing the kingdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that this is the year that you have established, that prophetically you have declared, and that God, you are going to use to change us, shift us, that Lord, you're going to bring connections, not only us to you, but you to us, and God, not only you to us, but you're going to bring connections in our lives that are going to change us so fast. Father, that's what I love about your connections. They accelerate our life. God, they move things quicker than they could have been moved on our own way. Lord, I thank you that this year we're going to have an epiphany in the name of Jesus. We're going to have revelation in the name of Jesus. We're going to have an understanding, Lord, of how much we have to be connected to you to move our lives faster. Lord, I thank you that you so love us. And Lord, every person in this room, every person watching by live stream, you have one purpose. That is, God, that will fulfill your will. And that is not survival, that is thriving. So Lord, we declare a thriving spirit in this church. The Lord will always have a smile, Lord, even when hell is licking our toes. We'll stand in victory to give you the glory and shine our light so bright that the people of this earth will see God is good. Amen. Stand to your feet. Just want to release a blessing. I declare in Jesus' name, if you'd like the blessing, just lift your hands to heaven. I declare in the name of Jesus right now, no sickness shall befall your house. I curse sickness and disease in your body. I command recreative and creative miracles in Jesus' name. I declare that bondages that you've carried for years will be broken in the name of Christ. I declare in the name of Jesus that tomorrow you're going to feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit like you've never felt him before, to spend time with him, to talk with him, to have a relationship with him. And I declare every relationship that is causing a disconnect or a short circuit will be broken this year by the power in Jesus' name. And everybody receiving it said, now listen, if you raise your hand or you got one of those emails, we want to give this book to you. So make sure you come on up and receive. Everybody else, we love you. Serve God with all of your heart.